çdo ide e tyre më është lutkës shpet topshin pejtare rëpëtëti rëzën bëg
The Parshav starts this week Vayish ma yisso ikoyen midyon choysen Moshe Ja? Eis kolash usu le kim le Moshe le Yesu el amoy Which superficially looks like a generalization, that the Rebbein Shlolem took the Eden out of Mitzrayim. Rashi specifies. And he asks, by Ishma he heard. So the question is, Mashmi Ashuma, what actually did he hear? So Rashi says, Kriyas Yamsev, Imilchem Samulek. Those two specifics, Kriyas Yamsev, and the war with Amulek. Although there are a number of other places where Rashi cites different miracles that happened, only in a little bit further, as Kol HaSheusu, then Rashi says, Yiridas Hamon, and the Be'er, and Amulek again. That alone is a subject to understand exactly why Rashi says those specific occurrences, and sometimes he gives other ones. But let's focus for a moment on the first two. Mashmiya Shuma Ibu Kiryasyam Sebuchemes Amulek. Now, if we think about it on a level of what was one of the greatest revelations that Klal Yisrael ever had during the time that they left Mitzrayim, so of course Matan Torah was the ultimate, but unquestionably, the crossing of the Yamsef was certainly quite a prolific event. And we even describe it, Ruasu Shivchu Alayam, Ma'ashe Loi Ru Yecheskel Ben Buzi. They had a dagger of Nevuah that they saw things that the greatest Nevi'im didn't actually see. That's clearly an experience in Yediyas Hashem, knowing as close as one possibly can the proximity and the experience, the revelation of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Very remarkably, on the flip side, if you think about it, at the end of last week's Seder, notwithstanding all that they saw, and the amazing Nifluis and Nisim, of an ocean splitting into 12 paths, and the Medrash goes into such detail to explain how they had drinking water, they had flowers, and they had ice walls which were transparent. And all those details, which on the face of it followed 10 Makkos in Mitzrayim, and yet, right towards the end of the Pusik, in Beshalach, Vayikru Shem Amukoi Masu Im Rivo, Al Riv Benai Yisrael, Val Nasoisom Es Hashem Leima, what did they say? Hayesh Hashem Bekirbaini Im Ayin. Is the Rebbein Shlolem actually present here? Is there a God or is there not? Is he here or is he not here? That really, how do you say, begets how can a nation that have been subject to see such nisim geluyim ask a question of Hayesh Hashem bekirbaini im ayin? You saw it with your own eyes. You experienced this kriyas yamsev. How can you ask such a question? And that's exactly what Rashi was referring to. Rashi says, he specified only those two, notwithstanding the fact that a nation can view, see, and experience such an ultimate experience of Kriyas Yamsev with the Nevuah and everything that went with it, so that they saw and realized in a tangible way the Kavyuchel, the Rebbein Shalom, was mamish there. And a moment later, they could still ask the question, Hayesh Hashem bekirbaini im ayin. This is a siman that you've got to do more about it than just to see and experience and superficially let it pass over you. And that brings us to the famous Ramban, although it's not written in Ramban al Torah, but I think it's recorded by the Baditcheve, who brings this Ramban of Ma to Iru, Ima to Iru, Esu Ahavu, Ashe Techpots. If there is a moment of love, then Ashe Techpots means that Yase Mimeni Chayfetz, that he does something to create something tangible out of it. He creates something where he's going to do something about it. He's going to act on it. And that is what Rashi says, Ma Shmua Shuma Ibu. The stress is on that he came. He got up and he actually came. I'll relate to you a story which has got the shaychas to this, because I saw it in from Rav Shimshon Pinkers on Chanukah. If I didn't read it, it defies belief, but he records it, and he said that there was a doctor in Los Angeles, and the doctor was a junior, he was starting his career, and they told him late at night when he had the night duty, because that's what they usually give doctors when they start, that there's a jogger which was found just outside the park, and he collapsed. And they need to resuscitate him. And by the time he got the second message from the ambulance, things looked pretty awful. And apparently the jogger had already passed on to a better world. When they brought him up, so the doctors took one look and they said, okay, Barry, just do the necessary, which means go through all the paperwork. He's doing the necessary documentation, and there, all of a sudden, he's sure that he saw a twitch underneath the sheets which are covering over the body. He thought, you know, he didn't think much of it, carried on working. And then there again, a few minutes later, as he's writing out all the small print, again there's a movement, a jerk underneath. So he thought, wait, hold on a second. Maybe we ought to resuscitate after all. And he uncovered the body, only to see the man underneath is looking him straight in the eye. He was shaken. The man says to him, are you Chaim Meir? Now, nobody had called him Chaim Meir since his grandmother passed into a better world. As far as he was concerned, he was Barry and known by everybody else in the same way. And yet, this man calls him by his name. He'd never see him in his life. He says, yes. Do you wear tefillin? And he knew what those were because he had his bar mitzvah. And he said, no. Do you keep kosher? And he's staring at him intently. And he says, no. Well, it's time you started to. And with that, he closed his eyes. And that was beyond resuscitation. He was very shaken up by that. He checked the pulse. There was no pulse. The man was definitely gone. Clinically, he was dead. But he got up. And he went into the coffee room where some of the other senior doctors were there. And he told them what had happened, whether they should come into the room. And of course they smiled and said, Barry, it's been a late night. We think you need to get some sleep. He said, I'm telling you, I just saw this. He says, yes, yes, of course, Barry. Definitely. But you should still get some sleep. Just for the next hour or so, take a strong black coffee and you'll be fine. This doctor went on, and he succeeded very, very well in his profession. And years later, Reb Shimshon Pinkers was one of the people that gave one of the Shabbatons. And he started to give incontrovertible proof that there's a Boira Olam in the world. And he was drawn by a friend, and the friend brought him there for Shabbos. And after Shabbos, the first time, he brought him for a second time, and the third time, And because he was an intelligent individual and he was honest, he couldn't actually come to terms with the fact that he led a life which was completely irreligious, even though he knew he came from a Yiddish background. And slowly but surely he started keeping basic mitzvahs. And then he met up with Reb Shimshon Pinkus and related this story. So Pinkus asked him, when did this happen? He said, about 5 years ago. He says, are you telling me that for 5 years after having experienced the dead man speaking to you and calling you by your name and asking you why you don't put on tefillin and why you don't keep kosher, that you actually did nothing about it? Yes. And then we can now understand in the background of this what it really means. Ma, shmia, shuma, ibu. Many of us could have heard. The Torah relates it about Shomri amir mirguzin, chiluchas yoshve pelushes, oznev hal yalife edoim, eilei moyov yachzei mairuat. They shook, they shuddered, they tittered, they feared, and they saw, they heard. But nobody did anything about it. There was one man that actually, how do you say, picked up the cudgels. Mashmuashuma ibu. He came. He picked himself up and he made the move and he said, okay, I realize that unless I recognize that they can be faced with two such extremes. On the one hand, you can see Kiryas Yamsif, but in a moment later, only a short few weeks later, you can say Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu im ayin. That's a reason for me to come. And he did the greatest act of all, and he was Magaya himself. Understanding that, let's analyze a little bit more about this Yisroi and to understand his character more. If you look at it in Parshas Pinchas, then you see that he was criticized severely because when they wanted to downgrade Pinchas, so to speak, and to deprecate him, what did they say? Ah! Ben putizeh shepitem avi imoy agulem lavoy dezura. Who is this Pinchas ben Eluzer ben Hana Kohen who takes swords and actually spears a nusi shebi Yisur? Yeah, sure, if you come from a background like the Kohen Midian who used to be a priest. But if you think about it in greater depth, can you really imagine the Archbishop of Canterbury going into a stable, putting his boots on, and taking his gloves and shoving down calves with fodder to make them fat so that they should be the suitable korban or sacrifice for the avodah zarah, whatever it may be. It's very, very, very far. Usually you've got serfs for this type of thing, and these activities are fulfilled by others. You don't need them to be done by people who is the Kohen Midian. But Yisroi was a mechapes emes. If this is the avodah that I'm taking right now, then we go to the nth degree. And I'll go into that stable and I'll take calves, open their mouths and shove down food so they should become fat and they should become prime sacrifices for the avodah zarah. Because if that's the truth, we go all the way. And that's also the driving force. So it really comes out in a negative on the face of it when we speak about this Rashi. Ben Putizeh, referring to Pinchas Shepitam, speaking of Avi Imoy, who his Zayde was, he pinned him of Agulim Lavoy Dezura. Yeah, but there was a tremendous, how do you say, indefatigable resolve there of a man who says, I will go all the way if that's the truth. And that is the reason of Ma Shemua Shuma Ibu, that he came and he realized that everything that he was studying until now was absolutely worthless. The truth remains in going to Hasinai and hearing Unoich Hashem Elokecho, and to join up with the nation who are also Mechapseihu Emes. Which brings us already a little bit deeper into the Seder and start to speak about the Aseres HaDibros. I haven't got that much time, but there are a lot of, how do you say, connections which are made. Some people say the Aseres HaDibros have got to do with the Asura Mamures Shenivuhu Oilam. But there is also an unusual one which says that the Aseres HaDibros actually correspond to the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So the first one is easy. He's speaking about Malchias and the first day, Olei Chalkalu Elam Kiloi, and the first Dibur was Noichi Hashem Elekecho, Asher Tzesicho, so it works. To go through all the rest of them, not with the time given, but the concluding one, which L'choira is Yoyim HaKipirim, corresponds to Loi Sachmoid. Now what Shaychas has Yom Kippur got with Loi Sachmoid? So for that, we have to understand that when a person has gone through the days of Elul and has gone through the days of Rosh Hashanah, worked through Slichas, and of course Aseres Yemei Tshuva and the Shabbos Shiva in the middle, he becomes closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to the final finale where he comes into Kol Nidre. Everybody is dressed in white. Everyone cleaves closer to the truth. And as the day wears on and the physicalities dwindle and the spiritualities raise and one comes closer and closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, then of course at the time of Ne'ilah, one would clearly recognize the Metzius of the Ribbono Shel Olam in a far more definitive way. What actually is the shoyrish of coveting, of jealousy? I would love to have that guy's Ferrari. I love the color, the seats. I would hope so much to have that condominium in Florida that he's got and the big house that he owns here. But it's not mine. And the Ribbono Shel Olam evidently designated it specifically for him. And if it's for him, clearly the rootsn of the Ribbono Shel Olam is that it's not for me. And to be able to really internalize that, that means you have to have a fundamental emunah that everything that happens is exactly as he's planned it and no different. Jealousy means no. I somehow might govern, the thing could turn out differently. And I would like that, but even if you want it, who's to say that you can actually achieve it? Is there not someone up there who is boss, who runs the show, who governs who gets what and who doesn't? And if he's got that Ferrari or that Lamborghini and you haven't, that's because the Ribbono Shel Olam wants it that way. But for that, you have to come to the point where you reach the moment of Ne'ile, where the last concluding words are Hashem Hu Hu Elokim. And in case you didn't recognize it the first time, you say it 7 times, over and over. No, the Eibishter is God. Only He is boss. He is the God. He decides. He governs, and therefore there is very little place for jealousy. Because if you've still got room in your mind to think that maybe I would like that too, then that shows that there is a little niche somewhere in your emina and belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Therefore, Lo Sachmoid corresponds beautifully with Yom Kippurim, which brings us to the minion of emina. And Lo Sachmoid is the kiddur of emina altogether. Rabbi Kirsch from the JLE once told me a phenomenal story that he witnessed. He was part of it, so I'll just share it with you. Because there is a question which is raised. The Weltzug on that last one of the Aseres HaDibros, where you say, Lo Sachmoid b'Yisra'echo, don't covet and don't be jealous of your friend's house. He's got a magnificent mansion. You don't have, you got only a semi-detached one, but his house is, wow. Lo Sachmoid Aishes Re'echo. He might have a better looking wife than you. Va'avdoi, va'amusoi. And his servant, his maidservant, v'shoyre, his ox, v'chamoyre, right? We can go into that in 2024. And his Cadillac, and his condo, and his other assets that he might have, and all the various holidays that he takes, which are so much more, how do you say, magnificent than yours. Then finally, and everything that you have, that your friend has. Now, the question was associated to the Sat Baruch, actually asked this question, Rabbi Yoel. And he says, what's Pshat? You said it all already. Haven't you said it? You said, Lesach Moed Bais Re'echo, his Aishas Re'echo, Va'avdoi, Va'amrusoi, V'shoiroi, V'chamoiroi. So why do you say V'chol HaShel Re'echo? What are you still adding to this long list which you've already said? So he said like this. Rabbi Kirsch was in the business of funding the JLE as well as just running it, and therefore he was waiting for an appointment with a certain philanthropist a long time till he got a letter in the post which said that in 2 months, 3 o'clock, Sunday afternoon, he was to go to a house in Surrey with the address, and there this philanthropist will see him. And of course this was a source of great excitement for him because he was waiting for this connection for a long, long time. And the couple of weeks before, he sent his best suit to the dry cleaner and checked out the way, made sure he knew exactly how long it was going to take him. He even took his car to the car wash, drove down to Surrey, and as soon as he started to see the neighboring houses, he knew he was in the right place. He parked his car, embarrassingly, a few hundred yards up the road, and made his way by foot to the address. What welcomed him was, of course, the beautiful manicured lawns and the waterfalls, or simulated waterfalls there in the front garden. He went through there and he checked his clock, his watch. It was 5 to 3. It was on the dot. Finally, as he made his way up to these big 8 pillars which crowned the front of the house, heart in his mouth, pressed the doorbell. Short while, door opens up, there's a butler there. But before he entered the house, he noticed, because he'd done his market research thoroughly, that the Rolls Royce with the personalized number plate of this company director was not there in the driveway. There were a couple of other sports cars there, but his car wasn't. He thought about it, but nonetheless, he carried on. The butler says to him, yes, sir, how can I help you? He says to him, is Mr., whatever his name was, at home, I have an appointment with him. My name is Rabbi Kirsch. Just a moment, sir. And he leaves him waiting outside. 1 minute passes. 2 minutes pass. Ein Keul für ein Eune. After 3 minutes, a very elegant lady comes to the front of the door. Freshly coiffed, and, of course, in her Prada outfit. And she says to him, who are you? He says, my name is Rabbi Danny Kirsch. I have an appointment, I believe, with your husband. Yes, it is my husband. You've got an appointment with him. He doesn't need to see you, and he doesn't want to see any of your type either. I know all you rabbis. All you do is come here for money. That's all that drives you. And you come here to solicit funds for my husband. Well, it's not on. Do you understand? You can leave him well alone on a Sunday afternoon. I've had enough of this. Now get out. And before he could even draw his breath, the door slammed in his face. But there was a window above with a large balcony, and he heard some knocking on the pane. And as he turned around, he noticed that amongst, in the midst of all this flurry, The black Rolls Royce with the personalized number plate was now parked in the driveway. But he didn't notice it coming there, and he looked up, and there, behind the glass window, was the Gavre Rabbe himself. And he looked down, evidently having noticed the whole event, and all he said to him was, "I'm sorry." He realized it was time to say goodbye, turned around and meekly walked down the path. And now the manicured lawns were not quite so green, the gravel was not quite so orange, and the waterfalls were not quite so wet. And he made his way to his car and drove home. On that, says the Satmar Rav, he says, it could be that when you speak about it in detail, and you say, Lo yisach moed baisre echo, lo yisach moed eshesre echo, v'avdoi, v'amusoi, v'shoiroi, v'chamoiroi, v'choi lashelere echo, is simply to tell you that there is a package deal in life. And you might think that the grass is always greener on the other side. And unquestionably, that his lot is better than mine. But you never know, because sometimes the company director who actually appears in the Forbes, and he's got four companies, public ones, which he runs very comfortably and very successfully, and he's got it all. Yes, he's got the different holiday homes in various capitals in the world, and he's got all those cars outside the front of his house. But he also has a wife that is egotistical and dominates him, that he can't open his mouth at home. And he stands there like a mouse at the window and saying, "I'm sorry." Because before you start thinking about the jealousy, it's worthwhile reflecting, because the other person might have Rachmuna Litzlon, the very, very successful one, a very sick child at home. He might have Chas V'Shulam, a very close relative with a terminal illness. He might have a problem with his Shulam bias. He might have other difficulties and challenges that are facing him in life, one after the other. But nobody knows about it. But it's V'choyla Shele Re'echo, said the Satmar Rav. It's a package deal. Before you start thinking about Lo Yisach Moed, think about all the other things that might be going on in that person's life. If you're happy with that, that's fine. Which leads us to the famous saying that the Yiddish Bubas always used to say, as alle Yidden el sich zamnemen mit darauflegen oifen de Pekler, which means that essentially everybody will take their tzuras. And even though you think that you're worse off, and you'll all put them up there in front of the Rebbein Shlulam in a huge heap, eventually everybody will say, "I'll take my own one back. Now that I've seen what the other person is challenged with and what he's up against, therefore I had opted to take my own." V'choy lashel ra'echo, he said. And that helped Eibshel helfen, and it's a schiz fin ein teuve, and im yetz Hashem so zoiche zan, v'kabel zan, the teure bahave, as we will this week, and so zoiche zan, Hashem, sehr gesinnte winter. Halt es. Skadar, skadar, shmei rabo. Rabo, 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 rabo